Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Wake up, Lincoln.
Come on, it's 6 o'clock. Rise and shine, rise and shine.
It's time for Early Break, brought to you by Sand Hills Woolen. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's Jake Sorensen.
Did seem kind of meh.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
Surprisingly good.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
I want to buy a couple ducks.
I'm bringing two ducks to the office.
This is Early Break.
Happy Monday to you, Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on Early Break. Hope you had a great weekend watching football. Bill is back from a trip to Kansas City watching Bengals Chiefs yesterday.
What a game.
It was a great game.
It was an incredible Sunday. We'll get into that, yes.
We will. Sip, I know you were watching this. We texted all at the end of the group chat. You were watching the end of the game.
Yes, because Bill was there.
How much did the game
I was watching
never
for Bill.
Heard, I've never heard of you watching an NFL game. Have you ever
Oh,
watched?
I do. Yeah. I definitely have them on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was watching. It was an incredible game. Yeah, kind of background noise. And then Harrison Butker, are just the animal
drilled
that he is.
Right down the middle.
The animal.
Yeah.
He's an animal. Ben's here. Everybody's here. It's Monday.
It's Monday. Yeah. Reezy always here on Mondays.
Everybody's here. Yeah. It's good.
You show up on Mondays. You saw Ben in the press box on Saturday, Sip.
Yeah, how was that?
You gave us Ben, a little taste.
I was telling you guys that Ben holds court.
You say you can hear him throughout the entire where you sit at. You can hear Ben.
I noticed. You do. Yeah. You hold court.
He's like, yeah, he does. Like, people gather around and they ask for his insight.
I will tell you this about Ben. I think he should be a sports writer.
Yeah.
He should. Because he's very opinionated. Have you noticed that?
I can't tell.
There's not one thing he doesn't have a take on.
I got a take on that.
When he comes out of the producer room in between breaks, he's got something to say.
The takes flow in the press box.
Yes.
I could hear him down the way.
Which ones came to mind? Could you hear anything
that I don't sit there and listen actively.
what's young Ben
jot
saying
down
over
what his thoughts are? But yeah, I mean, you can hear him down there. They're coming out.
Did he at least address you in the press box and see you?
I think we waved.
Kind of a wave to each other.
Yeah, we definitely acknowledged each other. He's busy though. He's giving his takes. I mean. I noticed because I'm different than I don't do that. I just kind of try to get all my stuff done. And I don't talk to a lot. I actually talk to a lot of people, but Ben is holding court. I like it. I do. He's good. You know, he's got opinions. That's good.
It was so much that before the show, you even mentioned he had a young Ben.
Young Ben holds
he's
court.
He's really active in that press box.
Really active.
He's
feeling comfortable, isn't he? He's feeling very comfortable.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ben, I'm telling you, you should be a sports writer. You have opinions you can write. Just do that. Maybe radio a little bit. Mix in some radio.
I'd like to read the Ben story from after the game.
Yeah, he's a good writer.
Need to read the DN.
He's a good writer. I'm telling you, he's a good writer. He knows how to turn a phrase, as they say.
Learned it from the best.
Bill.
Turn a phrase.
You got to. You turn phrases on Bill's Thrills. You're a phrase turn. Right. Yeah. Nice.
Flips the page. It's even better. He flips the page.
What's Bill have on his head?
It says Ruhlman's Steakhouse, the wonderful place in Ashland off of Highway 6. Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful
Phil.
Steakhouse. Phil.
Phil
Phil's
Ruhlman.
A great person.
Phil. Yes. Also, I do have to give a quick shout out to the Hunt family. Because they took
Lamar,
they took such good care of Swigert with his award for the, being the leading tackler in the history of Norfolk High School. We went to a clubhouse.
Okay,
we were whisked into a clubhouse for a
Lauren?
Buffet and everything free. Everything free. Then our seats were down. We were in the first front row, second row. Incredible seats. Like
you showed those seats.
40 yard line.
Yeah, those were.
Yeah, way
dignitaries.
They were way better than being
dignitaries.
The Hunt family did everything just right, and then we're whisked back up at halftime for a whole new buffet line. They swap out the buffet line between pregame and lunchtime.
Are you being serious right now?
Yeah, being dead serious about it. It was absolutely incredible.
Just tell me two things you had.
Yeah, there was some. I don't know what they call them. What are those little rolled taco type things?
Like a taquito?
Yes, they had those.
A taquito. That
was big.
Fist bump.
That was big. Yes, they had
taquitos.
Steak and chicken for pregame. Steak and chicken.
Did you overdo it?
I didn't. No, I didn't. I was very in control of that. Well, there was a lot. You know, there was a lot. And then the Hunt family brought in the cheerleaders to come over and meet Lauren.
Really?
So we're at the table. The cheerleaders came over, and
why'd they have to meet Lauren?
Well, because he's winning the award, all-time leading tackler at Norfolk High, and so they brought the cheerleaders in, and they were probably there for 10 minutes just talking to our table, six of us.
Lauren,
yes, six of us.
He would have played in Columbus.
He would have.
In fact, I know. It was in the '70s.
What's that? No,
eighties.
Eighties.
Yeah, they used to say 80s. About Schweiger when he hit you. It caused waves in the Platte River.
Yes, it was thunder. Thunderdome.
Right.
It was.
Still legendary out there.
Yeah,
it's legendary. Splash against the shore.
Yeah.
Schweiger must be in town.
Averaging like 14.5 tackles a game.
And he'd hit you.
Oh, yeah. Just sideline to sideline.
He'd hit you.
He's kind of like a Farley. He played like Farley. And they moved him around a lot.
Kind of like Farley / Mike Knox.
Yes. Same thing. Yes,
nobody knows who Mike Knox is.
I do. Yeah.
You do.
I do. Yes.
Lincoln East.
Don't know that one.
Mumford.
Mumford.
Yes.
Knox.
Yes.
Oof.
Dudes.
They hate you. Yeah, they hate you.
Absolutely. So anyway. See,
that's before your time.
I don't know Mike Knox.
How about Mumford?
Mark Mumford?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm aware of that name. Yes. I don't know Mike
from Colorado.
Knox, though.
Anywho, so you had a good trip to Arrowhead.
Yeah, it was incredible.
God, what a day.
Yeah, Arrowhead's incredible.
Serious.
Got a chance to meet up with the Burrow family before the game. So it was a fan.
How many Burrows were there?
That's a good question.
There was... Not a ton, because Jamie and Dan were not there.
Jamie's running a restaurant,
so he's got the bird going, yeah. And he also had a youth football game that his son was playing in, so that overtook that.
The Burrows are big time.
Yeah,
the quarterback's right down in Kansas City. No, I don't got time.
I got youth football.
Youth football and the bird tomorrow.
Yeah, the
bird. I got to smother some chicken.
Come on, yeah. Priorities here. Did you acknowledge Joe or Jamar at all?
What's that? No, we were right behind them, and so I was able to yell at a couple of my buddies.
You were yelling at Jamar?
No, did not.
Hey, Jamar!
I did not.
Hey!
It's Bill, yeah. No, did not do that one. Coach. But Arrowhead does
good
not...
Good job on that, by
Arrowhead
the way.
Arrowhead does not disappoint.
No.
Does not disappoint.
What do you mean? I've never been there.
It's great. I mean, it's like a college crowd is how I describe it. The tailgating scene is unreal because they're set up for it because it's just parking lots for miles and miles. And
it's
so
a lot of concrete.
There's concrete everywhere. So everything about that was just, I told Swigert it's the best Sunday I've ever had. It really was.
Oh, my God.
And my Bengals lost.
Barrel. Do you want to talk about that real quick or not? How that happened?
You mean dropping the ball?
Well, that.
Oh, yeah.
That and rushing three on third and on fourth and 16.
If you didn't watch the game, yeah, the Bengals are up by two.
Careful, Zach is our friend.
They're up 25-23. End of the game. Chiefs have a fourth and 16. And as Bill said, they rush three, and there's a pass interference call that gives them the first down.
It was interference.
Good field position.
Yeah.
Sets them up.
It could have not been called, but it was interference.
It was interference.
Yeah.
And so a couple of plays later, the Chiefs kicked the 51-yard field goal to win the game right down the middle. 26-25, Bengals lose.
I told my wife right before the play, I said, we're done. and we're rushing three.
Yeah.
I said, I go, Mahomes,
oh, right before that
Mahomes will scramble forever.
On the fourth down play.
On the fourth down play, he'll buy time, which he did.
And
the guy was not wide open, but still, we, you know, then don't make a play. But I would, I don't know. I do know this, though.
You were pissed.
I was that. And whether you rush three or do whatever you do different, that's okay. But they had rushed four pretty well. They had a couple sacks on Mahomes. They got, they'd gotten pressure on him with that. So there's no pressure. But at the same time, I know what that call's like. You're hanging on to your – but at the time was a completion, which they proved. One completion like that, and they're in field goal range. Once you cross the 50 with him, you're in field goal range.
Pretty
and
much,
so they had to make an incredible play. But I know what that's like to all of a sudden have to make – what do you want to do? Because whatever, you bring a blitz. Really? You blitzed him on 4th and 16? Oh, you did this. Oh, so there's a lot of things.
So the idea is drop guys in coverage.
Drop guys in coverage. So it's not idiotic. No, it's not. But it's tough with Mahomes because you knew in your rush three that he could buy a lot of time,
those are tough decisions.
He bought a lot, but they're very tough decisions.
It's really – I mean, does Cincy have a good pass rusher in those in that threesome?
What's that?
Trey Hendrickson.
Henderson had rushed the passer well throughout
the
game.
Ben, good job. Ben knows his stuff.
Yeah, but Russian.
Ben was shaking his head, yes. Yeah. And you.
I said the name.
No, Jake,
Trey Hendrickson.
You obviously
he's very good. They made a big
Ben
deal
is our
understudy. They made a big deal on the broadcast that the Bengals defensive line is not what it used to be.
Yeah.
They lost DJ Reader in free agency, and then they got a couple young guys there. So that's why they're running the ball pretty well for a while. KC was.
I think they ran it pretty well the entire game.
Yeah.
As I talked to the leading tackle in the history of Norfolk, I said, Swags, they go, I have no idea why they would pass the ball right now. I really don't. I had no idea why they would just, I would run the ball every snap.
Swags.
Yeah.
Swags knows what he's talking about. Well, and so do you. Yeah. Leading tackler.
So anyway, but yes, the whole day was very incredible and big fan of the whole Chiefs setup.
I'm a big fan of what I saw in terms, and this is, I got to choose my words delicately here. The Bengals wanted that game bad. And the level of care that I saw, I was impressed by. Like Joe was really upset, slammed his helmet after the PI, after the pass interference, Joe on the sideline slammed his helmet down. There was some devastation. I don't like to see people hurting, but I like to see people caring, especially at the pro level. And the Bengals care at a high level. And Zach is all class.
Yep,
Zach Taylor.
100%.
Jake.
Bill,
Zach Taylor's all class.
Yeah, I like Zach Taylor.
No, yeah. We've butted heads on that before.
You got me. It was a bad day. The Dolphins had lost the game. I was frustrated, obviously, with how it went. Tua was hurt that day against the Bengals. I was pissed off. Zach's a great coach.
Heads. We butted. Thank you for saying that.
What are you going to add, Jake? Jake has something to add.
I had a question for Bill because you went to the game, Chiefs-Bengals. When is the last time you went to a game as a fan?
I've only been to one other one in my life.
Ever? When only was
one,
that?
One other one. Me and Laura had never been to a game together, ever.
Really?
So I thought this is ever. Significant.
I went, and that was horrible. When I'd gotten hired at Wisconsin to go there to be the DB coach, they had us and a couple other people. They flew us out to the Rose Bowl to watch, so I could watch practice, because then I was going to take over then as a defensive back coach at Wisconsin.
At Wisconsin.
And so I went to the Rose Bowl versus, I think they lost to Stanford, I believe. I went to that and I sat in the stands, and that was horrific.
What?
Just some of the comments, things that are said. I was like, I just, and then also.
Wait, the fan comment?
Yeah. It was just, like I said, it wasn't a great setting. I'm kind of there by myself a little bit where I was sitting and different things. And then everything about it wasn't great, but the Rose Bowl, to see the Rose Bowl was pretty cool. But no, to sit in the stands, I didn't like that. But this game, I was just a fan. That game, I was just kind of watching.
People around you.
Yeah.
Good people. Yeah. This was really your first time ever going to a game as a fan.
Yes, just a fan. First time ever. Where was the full
ever.
On?
Because you're 58 years old.
Where was the full on
ever?
Full on fandom, you know, going to events, up and down the stairs, doing things. Went out and watched warm-ups.
Will you do it again
like that? Oh, absolutely. And it was great. Now I will say this. It was as if someone had a magnifying glass on top of your head.
Hot.
The sun was incredible and right in our grill, right in our face. And it was it had to be 100 degrees.
How'd you stay cool? And,
didn't
yeah,
stay
it was
cool.
Hot here. I imagine it was terrible there.
Yeah, it was insane. And then our seats were so good. But remember, you're down low.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of buried down in the stadium because it's sunken down in a little bit. You walk down into the stadium. And so it was insane.
Yeah, I heard the sideline reporter refer to that.
And the slide reporter was on our side.
Well, she
she walked right in front of us 10 times, like 5 feet away from us.
She said that there's no wind.
Yeah, there was nothing. It was just it was just dead.
Pretty calm. Pretty calm day. But fun day, bad result for the Bengals. But now once again, those teams always play epic football games. Bengals, Chiefs within the Burrow, Mahomes era have always been epic.
Epic.
Some sort of amazing finish or tight all the way through.
Yeah, it seems like
it's almost a guarantee at this point.
Yeah, there's an amazing stat. When they were tied in the fourth quarter, it was like their last six games, it was 125-125.
Really?
Yeah. It was crazy. Yeah,
some good football.
Yeah.
Fun to watch.
Yeah. So Chiefs, Harrison Butker, unbelievable.
Drilled it.
He did.
Had to make
He's unbelievable.
Yeah. You're hoping that, because I had a great view of it before I thought, well, this maybe at least OT? Be somewhat close to one of the goalposts. Nope. Right in the middle.
No, that's what he does too. If like Missing Tooth Greg was saying, if that was he's the type of kicker where if the goalposts were 8 feet wide, he'd just drill them, you know. He's that guy.
I don't know what the number was again this week, but we just kept reading it and hearing about this. Yeah, made a 59-yarder. Yep, made this. No one anymore when you cross the 50, it's like, well, at least we got a field goal.
NFL
feels kickers. Like it's automatic now.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like that in college, but it's like that in the NFL.
No. Yeah, the Texans kicker, Fairbairn, made a 59-yard kick last night inside, so there's no wind at all. But still, 59 is 59. I don't care where you're kicking at. That's impressive. That is Idle Chit Chat, sponsored by our friends at Renew. Call or text David at 402-833-3858 or go to renewyourauto.com to do everything from body shop, ceramic coatings, window tinting, and more. Renewyourauto.com. Nebraska football is 3-0. First time since 2016. They beat Northern Iowa on Saturday night 34-3. 34-3. Nebraska wins by 31 points. Nebraska, again, they score their first touchdown early on, opening drive, nice touchdown, and then a 10-minute drive by you and I ends in a field goal in Nebraska territory. They don't score again the rest of the game, so people can moan about that drive. They won 34-3.
Right.
They won comfortably.
Yeah, they were up, game. What was it, 21-3
at halftime. Yep.
So Nebraska, like you said, took control early like they have been doing. Yep. And there's not much to complain about. It was an interesting game. You and I, Bill was right. I think Bill said it. Northern Iowa was appreciably better than UTEP. Appreciably better. In fact, I'm
well coached. I mean, they had a plan. Very
tough.
Yeah, tough. They had a good plan.
Got after you up front. They really got after Nebraska's front.
They did.
So that was, and I don't think there's any big red flags there. And Nebraska, by the way, is really getting, one thing that got underplayed in the wake of that win was Nebraska's offensive line is playing really well. We don't talk about it because isn't that the way it works with offensive lines? If it's playing well, you don't talk about it.
Sometimes not as much as you should.
Yes. Yeah.
And also there's nothing really going wrong. You don't get as much of the credit side of it as what you should.
No, real quick, pro football focus. I was startled by this yesterday on Husker Online. During the season, the offensive line has not been charged with a sack, has allowed just 9 hurries and just 1 quarterback hit over 3 games. That's good. That's excellent, actually. And they graded really high on Saturday.
Didn't have Mazuka either on Saturday, starting guard.
That would be Micah Mazuka.
Yep. What was his injuries?
Well, he doesn't have an injury, Bill. Okay. It's a little touchy. I think we'll find out more today from Matt Rhule. He wasn't at the game. So it was a coach's decision. So it was a coach's decision. Mm-hmm. That's what I know right now. But it'll be addressed today. Litovsky, Henry. Mm-hmm. You remember Henry?
Absolutely. Henry Litovsky.
Is a mountain of a man. He is a mountain.
Big fella.
I think he played pretty well. He graded well. He played in Mazuka's spot. So the offensive line's playing well. Turner Corcoran, I want to mention him because how often did we say, I don't know about the left tackle going into the season. I don't know how he'll hold up. Well, he's held up really well. I think, the entire group has. Now,
Ohio football fans, picture this.
You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
It'll ramp up now. I mean, the competition ramps up. It does.
Yes.
Starting Friday night.
Yeah, Illinois in the new AP people is ranked. So you got ranked on ranked here in Lincoln Saturday night. 22 Nebraska, 24 Illinois.
22 Nebraska. Those are the AP rankings?
For AP. Nebraska's 22, Illinois 24.
Okay.
Friday night, 7 p.m. Memorial Stadium here in Lincoln.
Yeah.
First ranked matchup in years in Lincoln.
Yeah. Illinois beat Central Michigan 30-9. Illinois, we don't need to talk about Illinois. I don't want to give up a full breakdown of Illinois, but I will tell you this. They have the dudes. I mean, Bill knows this, Jake. When they come out of the tunnel, you know you're in the Big Ten, right?
Yeah, they'll look the part. I don't think they're the same team as they were 2 years ago.
No.
They're not that same team.
No.
They don't have the same running back. They don't have Brown. They don't have – but they're
Chase
good
Brown
team.
Was Brown. Chase Brown was good.
Yeah
really they don't good have drop that. There. Yeah. They don't have that.
He was a dude.
They're not the same, and the quarterback's not as good as DeVito. Was
ooh
that'd be
Luke Altmaier.
I'm pretty high on him. I was still with DeVito is better quarterback. So it's not a pure juggernaut, but they're extremely well coached.
What
extremely?
Yeah, they are, and they got.
Bielema's going to do everything to not lose the game.
Yeah,
that's what he'll do. And where he's talking about, you lose more games than you win. So he's not going to get out over his skis. This is our plan. Here's how we're going to try to get this game into the fourth quarter. He'll have a great plan.
He will. I hear you 100%. Go ahead, Jake.
Well, from the game in terms of what stuck out. I mean, if you talk to Husker fans, which okay. I was in the stands.
So you were in the stands. I did not know that. Yeah. I did not know that.
It's fun. You can be at a point where, hey, they won by 31. You can just nitpick because it went so well.
We're doing that now.
We're nitpicking. It's a good. Yeah, we're not saying, oh my God, the sky is falling. Hey, we won by 31.
We're nitpicking.
It was just a little surprising, as you mentioned, that Northern Iowa rushed the ball so well.
Well, did they rush the
39
ball?
39 carries for 139, average of 3.6 yards per carry. They had
that's not bad.
It was pretty good. You had Aiden Dunn, the quarterback, 11 carries, 49 yards. Amari Pestek-Hickson had 11 for 39.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Edwards, 10 for 37. I mean, it wasn't like one guy went for 100-plus yards. It was a good collective effort. And that's not a horrible stats by any means for Nebraska's rush defense. It was just stunning, I guess, a little surprising that the first two games, UTEP, and Colorado did nothing, and they had a pulse running the football.
They did have a pulse. Those running back. I don't know. They're not. It's not like Dickerson back there. But I'm a little surprised how good they are playing at Northern Iowa.
They're
what are you at Northern Iowa for, big man?
And they did. They did a nice job with some different looks. You notice there was a lot of tight ends in the game.
For
Northern Iowa, so they could then they ran
hammer
some
away.
Gap,
yeah,
ran some gap schemes and some different things.
Jake did notice the gap scheme.
Yeah, we did. We texted about the gap scheme. A lot of texts about gap scheme.
What is that, by the way?
Just down pullers.
Down pullers.
Yeah, just get a little. It gets a chance just to get a little bit of different. Like I said, the difference with them and, like I said, with a Colorado is that they didn't do anything with that. So you didn't have to ever worry about pullers and,
right.
And basically gaps change defensively. Okay. And that makes that makes you work a little bit harder.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that. And they did do a good job of that. And their offensive line is veteran. UNI's offensive line is veteran and pretty good. And then Nebraska, of course, without Jamari Butler. And Nebraska subbed so liberally, it was incredible to me up front. They played a lot of guys up front. And then in the second half, they played a lot of guys in the back end. Let me get that. I'll tell you, there are guys that I sort of hesitate to admit that I didn't even recognize out there at times. I'll give you some examples. Well, Keona Davis is playing a lot, guys. He's a true freshman. He played 17 snaps. True freshman defensive lineman, who they love, by the way.
Two tackles.
Yeah, he looks like, Bill, I'm telling you, he looks like he's going to be a big-time player to me. Mason Goldman.
Yep, two tackles, Mason Goldman.
Mason Goldman is a redshirt freshman from Gretna that played 17 snaps. Davis played 17 snaps. Dylan Parrott, walk-on from, I think, Eldridge, Iowa, played 15 snaps. He's a mountain, too. He's like 6'7", 315. Brody Tagaloa. Played 13 snaps, redshirt freshman. Vincent Carroll Jackson played 12 snaps. Those guys you don't see a lot of, but they were playing a lot. And I suppose it's just because Northern Iowa played so many snaps compared to Nebraska. I mean, that was one stat that jumps out to me, too, the snap count. You and I had it for 71 plays, 38 minutes.
48 for Nebraska. 48 plays Nebraska, minutes. 71 for Northern Iowa.
Yeah. 71 plays to 48 for Nebraska. Now, Nebraska was really efficient, 8.8 per play. So, I mean, it worked out fine for Nebraska, but I give Northern Iowa a lot of credit. Got Nebraska ready probably a little bit for a Big Ten play, I'd say.
In terms of things also that excited some fans was that in the opening drive, Carter Nelson was not just involved. He had the opening touchdown for Nebraska.
Big horse.
You saw the true freshman who we have seen play against UTEP. Did he play against Colorado?
He did not play a snap of offense against Colorado. Okay, he was on the special team.
Had some second half catches against UTEP when it was in hand. But this was in the first drive of the game.
What did that look like to you?
It looked good. And his touchdown was wonderful.
Caught it with his hands like that. And it wasn't an easy catch. Then he didn't go down. He's a super good athlete.
Yep.
I don't know.
Drive touchdown, Carter Nelson.
I don't know how often you'll see him because they have so many guys it seems like they're trying to get the ball to. So you saw him early. Then you didn't really see him again until late. And then he made a couple other catches late. But he's a big-time player. He'll be a big-time player. He's probably getting close to a big-time player right now. I don't know if you'll see him that much, though. Because they have the veteran guys that they, Banks and Nayor, and all those running backs are pretty veteran at this point. Emmett Johnson, I'd call a veteran. I wouldn't call Dowdell a veteran, but I would call Ramirez probably 30 years old at this point.
feels like it.
Yeah. So I don't know. They got to get the ball. It seems like they're trying to spread it around a lot.
When you only have 48 plays, I'm looking at the rushing stats. The Nebraska's leading carrier, Dowdell, only had six carries. Six carries for him, four for Emmett Johnson, three for Harburg, two Ramir Johnson, three Gabe Irvin. So didn't run the ball, didn't have to, but they were effective at 6.5 yards a carry for Nebraska.
Yeah, they were effective. The running back situation has sort of crystallized. It looks to me like they want to pound Dowdell at people that establish physicality. And then it looks like Emmett Johnson has enhanced his profile. Maybe use him later as a closer. Emmett's a hard runner, right?
Yeah, very hard runner. Yeah. Like I said, he is a very enthusiastic football player, which you would like.
And
a great young man, too.
He is an enthusiastic football player. Yeah. It's hard to keep him off the field, in part because of that, and in part because he ran the ball well and caught the ball well.
So
it was interesting. One thing, Jake, Farley, if you listen to Farley's press, I would encourage you to listen to
Mark Farley.
Yeah, Farley's press conference. Grouchy man. I mean, he's a grouch.
He did seem kind of grouchy.
He's a grouch. Yeah. He's 61, and me and Bill can relate. Yeah. He's kind of over it all, it seems like. And he was asked about Dylan, just said, Dylan wasn't the problem for us. He kept saying they're running back. I was like, who's he talking about? He goes, there's a running back we had trouble with. Well, they played three.
He said Dylan was a quote, good quarterback.
Yeah, he said he's a good quarterback, but our problem was we couldn't handle the running back. Yeah. The running back. I think he was talking about Emmett Johnson.
Well, and here's Matt Rhule postgame on Emmett Johnson from Saturday.
Yeah, we wanted Emmett to be the third down back this week. We felt like he would do a good job in the protections and getting out and catching the football. We're trying to diversify some of the roles. We didn't have a ton of third downs. You know, we were kind of not necessarily needing the third downs. And then that run at the end was great. You know, one thing about Emmett that's happened, you know, last year and this year is he's kind of like been a closer in some games, right? Whether it was Northwestern last year or Purdue, or I can't remember the game started to run together for me. But even, you know, Maryland, Wisconsin, he had long runs that put us in position to at least try to win those games. And so he's a guy that comes in the fourth quarter, a change of pace, makes people miss. And that was a big time run for us.
Well, and he also was doing damage in the first half, Emmett. At the end of the first half, he had a 17-yard catch. 7-yard run that got him in position for their second touchdown. I think that's who Farley was talking about. I mean, it's possible he was talking about Dowdell, but Dowdell wasn't catching passes.
Dowdell had six carries. That's it.
Six carries. He didn't catch a pass?
No.
No. So Farley was talking about a guy they're trying to match up with that could catch passes out of the backfield. It must have been Emmett. I don't think it was Ramir.
I would think so.
Yeah, it was odd, though.
Yeah.
He said, no, we had problems with the running back. Okay.
Mark Farley, the grouch.
But Farley said, I mean, he said, you know, we came in thinking we could match their physicality. Mm. God bless him. They were tough.
They were. They're very.
You noticed that?
Like I said, and that's how he has built that program.
Is that right?
That's how he's built that program. And he's done a great job with just, you just looked at him. They had a very, it was very easy to see their plan and what they were about. And
which so, was
that line up, be physical, play. I mean, some people just like, oh, you don't see a bunch of bubble screens thrown and a bunch of different things like that. Like, no, here's what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. We're going to hand the ball off. We're going to line up in multiple formations out of bigger people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to try to control the clock. We're going to huddle, take our time.
They did. Things.
I mean, they're going to be like,
they really took their time.
Yeah. Going into this game, it's like, no, we're going to use the full 40 seconds. We're going to make sure that happens.
And that quarterback was plucky too.
Yeah.
Aiden Dunn was better than I thought.
He was solid.
Yeah, he was solid, and he could run, which that enhanced the running back running game because you had to worry about him too. He could take off.
But
those running backs were good.
Keep in mind, this is a team that was impressively physical on the game, and they lost by 31 points. I mean, Nebraska rolled them. When all said and done, it was a comfortable win. It was 21-3 at halftime. It was 34-3 overall. Like, Nebraska took care of business against a team that was impressive in doing so.
I totally agree. I mean, you really got to go to the bottom line. I mean, you can nitpick around and say Nebraska's defense got pushed around a little bit, maybe was on their heels early because the plan was really good for you and I don't know. But the bottom line is they gave up 3 points. 3 points. Yeah. That's the bottom. You just got to stay with the bottom line here. 3 points.
Nebraska has allowed 20 points through three games on the season.
Yeah,
20 total.
They play good defense. They were, you know, they got good in the red. They bowed up in the red zone really well. So, you know, Isaac Gifford had 10 tackles. I thought he played one of his best games. He graded super high. Bullock didn't grade really high, but he made some big plays. John Bullock continues to make big plays.
Hartsog had the pick in the red zone.
Hartsog graded really low, but had a second pick. He's athletic. Hartsog's athletic.
Very.
Would you say very?
Yeah. That play, they said that was one on the – that was if their quarterback had a bad play, that would have been one.
Overthrow.
Because he was open.
Yep.
And he just sailed it.
He did.
He did sail it. And that was – they were driving. That was March. Yeah. That was
if they catch that ball, it's not going to get interesting. I think it was like 28-3 at that time. If they somehow got a score or another field goal or something. Or just
– puts pressure on you.
What would have done was also would have eaten off another 3 minutes of clock. Because of how they were attacking the game. But there was never a time when it was ever, like, you know, concerning or anything of that nature.
Not concerning, but that would have been 21-10.
Yeah.
21-10.
That's interesting. Okay. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, it would have been 21-10, and they came out in the third quarter, and that culminated that drive. It was a long drive. You and I came out again to start the second half and marched it. And Aiden Dunn sailed it. And I thought Hartsog made a good catch.
He did. Very good. That was a 9-play, 46-yard drive into the pick in 5 minutes of possession.
Right. Yeah. So I was, I mean, I was up there going, huh, God, if they score, it's 21-10. I don't think, I wouldn't have thought, oh, I think Nebraska's in some level of peril, but it would have made it more interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, and then finally, in terms of Dylan Raiola, again, another efficient 17 for 23 with a pick that wasn't really his fault. But
it was his fault. He underthrew him, Jake.
Think so?
Yeah.
You're going with that's his fault?
Yeah, I'm going with...
Okay.
Dylan said he underthrew him.
Okay.
And I thought he underthrew that ball. If he airs that out a little longer, it's a long completion. He said that too.
Okay.
He did.
I disagree, but fine. 247 yards, two touchdowns, no
again.
Sack.
I would encourage you to watch
it again. It's a play that the receiver's got to make that play.
I disagree. He underthrew it a little
bit. Bill, what'd you think about that play?
Didn't see it.
Okay. We'll show you the replay of the interception.
Didn't see it. I saw most of the game. I was doing a lot of – when the game's like that, when you're watching, it's like, okay, there's nothing here that's going to be of that. There was other things that were on, so I'd flip back and forth. But I caught quite a bit of it. I really did.
God bless you, Jake. You're just wrong on this. Yes,
I told that.
It's okay to be wrong,
I'll show you the replay. Maybe you under threw a little bit, but that's a play. It's a one. It's you're going against.
No,
the
I want to be
back.
Clear on
Make
something.
The play.
I want to be clear on something. It wasn't a blatant underthrow. It wasn't a horrible underthrow. But if he leads him more, puts a little more air under it, and allows Jalen to run under it, it's maybe a touchdown.
Regardless, his stats again: 17 for 23, 247, two touchdowns. Also had a 13-yard run in this game. Designed run.
Yeah,
which is beautiful.
Yeah, he completed 13 of his first 14. It's getting to the point now where when Dylan throws an incompletion, you're like, oh, I'll be damned. He threw an incompletion. I mean, he missed a couple passes late in the first half, which was surprising to me. But on the season.
There's a fourth down throw that was
behind.
Yeah, that was behind him for sure.
Yeah, he threw it behind him but on the year, 59 for 80, that's 73.8%. 670 yards, 5 touchdowns, just one pick, one turnover. He's off to a good start.
And we're on to Illinois here.
But he hasn't been pressured much.
No.
I mean, would you say Kyle? It was interesting because my friend Gary Barnett said, well, he hasn't been pressured yet. Didn't Colorado get after him a little bit?
No.
Not really. No, not really.
No. And they didn't really call many pressures, but they didn't know.
Okay.
They had one.
That's why
there was one in the fourth quarter. They brought in all-out pressure. They forced an incompletion. But even that one, they lost contain on. So, no, it wasn't.
Thank you, Bill.
No, they have not faced anyone with a formidable four-man rush.
Okay. I don't know if Illinois will have that or not.
I would think they will be better. But it's not. This isn't the 85 Bears rolling in here.
No, it's not.
No, it's not at all.
It's
so
not.
I would expect the same dominance from the offensive line.
As an aside, guys, you know what's freaky to me this weekend? UNLV is good.
We'll get to that. Yeah. Hang on.
They're good. What is that?
What is that?
Barry Odom.
They got
Barry
duped Odom. On UNLV.
Remember I told you it was a must-win for Lance.
Yeah.
I called that one on.
Rough.
Must-win.
Rough loss. Rough loss.
We'll get to that in a second. Before we get to break, though, a quick plug for our friends at Early Bird.
The Bird.
Jamie wasn't at the game because he had to watch do bird duties. A busy man.
I didn't realize this until
early bird duty.
Swigert filled me in on this one that he drove by there heading down to the tailgate somewhere around 9:30 or 10 o'clock. Said the line. Said they heard people say they got through very quickly, but the line was 40 out the door.
Yeah,
it's a very what day was that?
Saturday morning.
It's a very popular.
It was 40
place.
People out the door. He said it was. He goes, yeah, the 40 people out the door.
Wow,
that's the kind of service, and that's the kind of people are like, you want to wait. Yeah, we'll just wait.
That's great.
It's to do it. So I talked to, I actually was texting with Jamie yesterday about this. I was heading down to the game and stuff. So we were texting back and forth, but it was 40 deep.
40 out the door.
Yeah, and no problem. They got you. Still got you in
the
and
breakers
out.
Breakers are showing up. The
breakers are there.
Because they want breakfast burritos. They want chicken fried steak, which is what, Bill?
Smothered.
It's smothered, all right. It's smothered. They've got a variety of pancake options. And, of course, the world famous hash holes.
Hash holes.
Hash holes.
That's better.
Well,
By the way, I was at a restaurant yesterday for lunch, and someone yelled hash holes at me. It was not Early Bird I was at.
Really?
I said, this is the wrong place for that, ma'am.
It was a woman.
Thank you. It was a woman. She yelled
Asheville. Asheville. I can do that, I guess.
She's a breaker. But
I had to go watch Gigi dance on Thursday, and I got several from the people in the
on three.
So many
on
sound three. Effects.
Yes,
on three.
Loved it.
Yes,
thank you, breakers.
I wish we love you.
Yes. I wish there was more
out long footfall.
Check out Early Bird. Early Bird, 19th and K. When we come back.
And Pender.
When we come back. Stretchers. An early break on the ticket.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.